Light is profitable. Darkness is ineffectual. Light is fruitful. Darkness is unfruitful.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The Bible is perhaps the greatest document in the world, no doubt is the greatest document in the world, which teaches us about the nature of men. And so the Bible is concerned not only with obligation. We have certain obligations, and the Bible lays those out very clearly. But the Bible is concerned not only with obligation, but also with motivation, with certain basic spiritual incentives. People know what they ought to do. You and I, our problem is not so much what we know or don't know. We know probably more than we do. People know what they ought to do, but how can they be motivated to do it? In this section, beginning in verse 3 of Ephesians 5 and going all the way down through verse 21 at least, and probably beyond that, Paul shifts in his emphasis from models of behavior to motivations to that behavior. And he adds four powerful inducements or incentives to a righteous and a holy life. And every one of us should be burdened to live in the way that God would have us to live. The first motivation is the judgment of God. That's unfolded in verses 3 to 7. One, the judgment of God. We look forward. And then two, we look backward to the light of God, verses 8 to 14. And then three, the wisdom of God. That's verses 15 to 17. We look upward. And then finally, the Spirit of God. And that's in verses 18 to 21. We look inward to the indwelling, enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Now, in verses 3 to 7, what do you see there? In verses 3 to 7, we have what we might call the judgment of God. As I look at verses 3 to 7, there's more than one way to outline this passage. But as I look at verses 3 to 7, it seems to me that there are three ideas there. First of all, there's immorality. Paul talks very pointedly to the Ephesian Christians about immorality. And once he's discussed it, he says, do not be partakers with them. First, there's immorality. That's verse 3. And then there's vulgarity. Immorality has a way of leading to vulgarity. Immorality is unholy living. Vulgarity is unholy speaking. It's not ethically proper. It's intrinsically inappropriate for the children of God. Thirdly, he says, there's penalty. Do you notice verses 5, 6, and 7? For this ye know, that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. There's a powerful warning for us. The judgment of God is a motivation to holiness. And let me give you an outline. The second is the light of God. The judgment of God and then the light of God. That's the second powerful inducement to holiness. Now I want to give you an outline. Paul uses the rich symbolism of darkness and light. And he says that as children of light, we have a twofold responsibility. And as we fulfill these responsibilities, we'll cultivate holiness. Now what is our twofold responsibility? Verses 8 to 14. Verses 8 to 10, 11 to 14 are the two sections. One, he says, we have a responsibility to express light. 8, 9, and 10. And two, we have a responsibility to expose darkness, 11 to 14. We have a responsibility to express light and expose darkness. And as we do that, we become holy. We become separate from the ugly, contaminating pollutants of this world. One, he says, I want you to express light. In outline form, there are three ideas there. He speaks of our conversion, verse 8. You were darkness, now you are light in the Lord. That's our conversion. You've been converted. You're not what you used to be. Do you notice he states it very powerfully? You were not in darkness, you were darkness. So permeated with a realm of evil that you personified that realm. You were darkness. But now a radical transformation has taken place in the Lord. Do you notice? Now you are light in the Lord. It's amazing what the Lord can do, isn't it? Now you are light. You were inherently, intrinsically, part of the warp and fiber of darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. So he goes from our conversion to our conduct. Do you notice in the latter part of verse 8 and verse 9? Walk as children of light. Conversion always issues in conduct. If it doesn't, you have to question the conversion. So he says, he gives us an imperative and an implication. The imperative is walk as children of light. And that's Paul's word for behavior, walk. And he means that our behavior is to conform to our new identity. We must radiate the light that we are in the Lord. We should live like men and women who are at home in the daylight, not in the darkness. Christian conduct must always follow Christian conversion. And he tells us this is exactly what I mean by it. He says, now there's the imperative, walk as children of light, but here are the implications. Verse 9, what are the marks of light? He says they're threefold, goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness is the refusal to respond to what we know to be evil. It's moral excellence, agathosune is the Greek word. And then righteousness is the refusal to respond to what we know to be wrong. And then truth is the refusal to respond to what we know to be false. It is conformity to the mind and the will of God revealed in Scripture. It means that we are to live on a practical basis a life which is shining with all that is good instead of evil, all that is right instead of wrong, all that is true instead of false. Express light. You've been converted. Now exude this conduct. Finally, he gives us a word of caution there. Do you notice verse 10? Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. You walk as children of light as you prove what is acceptable to the Lord. You know what that word prove means? Subject to a test. Subject to an examination with a view to approving or disapproving something. Children of light, Paul says, bring everything. There's nothing in their lives that they fail to bring to the light. Children of light bring everything to the light of God's word in order to bring their lives into entire conformity to the will of God. They don't allow anything into their lives that is antithetical to the light. They prove everything. They subject everything to a test, and the effect of that is that they are enabled to walk in a manner that's well-pleasing. That's what the word acceptable means, well-pleasing to the Lord. He says, I want you to express light. Finally, he says, I want you to expose darkness. There are 3 points in the outline in verses 11 to 14. I want you to expose darkness. We are given a summons. We're summoned to behave in a specific way. Do you notice in verse 11, negatively have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't blend your lives together with, don't be mixed together with, that's what the word fellowship means, the unfruitful works of darkness. Light is bountiful, darkness is barren. Light is profitable, darkness is ineffectual. Light is fruitful, darkness is unfruitful. No good comes from the dark, therefore have nothing to do with it. It's a mandate for absolute, utter separation from the ugly, contaminant pollutants of this world. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Negatively, that's our summons. Positively, but rather reprove them. That word reprove means to expose them. It means to show them to be baseless and without merit. And it means to expose them. In other words, it's not enough merely to abstain from evil practices. Christians must actually expose them. Evil practices are not to be ignored or tolerated. They are to be exposed and even on occasion attacked. We may not wish to do this. Maybe it's not native to our nature. We may not wish to do this, but we cannot help it. We are light, and that's what light invariably does. The light that is in us is to be a rebuke to the darkness that is in them. We're given a summons. We're also given a stimulus, a motivation. Why should we do this? Why should we expose darkness? It's in verses 12 and 13. One reason is the inherent evil of darkness. The evil deeds of darkness deserve to be exposed. They ought to be unmasked and rebuked. Why? For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret or in darkness. The inherent evil of darkness, it deserves to be exposed. There's another reason why we ought to do it. The inherent function of light. Light makes manifest. That's what verse 13 says. Light makes manifest. That is, light makes visible. And that's always good. That is always good. Darkness hides the ugly realities of evil. The light makes them visible. And when that happens, evil is seen for what it is without any possibility of concealment or subterfuge. That's our stimulus. The inherent evil of darkness and the inherent function of light. Verses 12 and 13. We're given not only a summons, and we're given not only a stimulus, a motivation, but we're given a summary. Paul kind of summarizes his points in verse 14, and he says there, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." We're not certain where Paul gets that quotation, but he says something powerful there. Paul summarizes his whole emphasis by graphically describing, I'm almost finished and I want you to follow me now, this kind of a close-knit thread of reasoning in this passage, and we've got to hang together to get it. He summarizes his whole emphasis by vividly and graphically describing our former condition in Adam in three terms: sleep, death, and darkness, from all of which Christ rescues us. Paul says in verse 13, he's kind of summarizing his argument now. Paul says in verse 14, conversion is nothing less than a waking out of the stupor of sleep. It is arising from the dead. It is being brought out of darkness into the light of Jesus Christ. Paul says, once we were dense, now we are alert. Once we were dead, now we are alive. Once we were dark, now we are alight in Jesus Christ. No wonder we're summoned to live a new and a holy life in consequence of that powerful transformation that took place when we became Christians. Paul says, we have two great motivations to live a holy life. One is the judgment of God, verses 3 to 7. And we're given a solemn warning that we ought to be very careful to heed. For the non-Christian, that warning means the loss of his soul in eternity. For the Christian, that warning means the loss of all we have lived for here and now. And there's a second great motivation, not only the judgment of God, but the light of God. And in effect, Paul is saying, how can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We've been delivered from the darkness into his marvelous light, and the light and the darkness have nothing in common. What communion, means what fellowship, same Greek word, what communion hath light with darkness? 2 Corinthians 6 in verse 14. Paul says the greatest thing in the world is to be a Christian. There is no nobler and no more pure life on the face of the globe than to be a Christian. Have you become a Christian? If you haven't become a Christian, we invite you to this noble and this pure way of life. And there is nothing that so satisfies the human soul as a personal union with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. The greatest life in the world is the Christian life because it's God's life shared with us. It is a God-like life. And Paul says that's why it must be a holy life. And that's why we should avoid like the plague. We who are Christians should avoid like the plague anything that would compromise that holiness. Paul says to you and me tonight, are you the holy Christian God desires you to be? Are you the holy Christian God desires you to be? You live in an infectious society. Have you let it rub off on you? Are you the holy Christian God desires you to be? Do you walk as children of light in all goodness, righteousness, and truth? That's Paul's message for us.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Everything worth doing requires care. We all take trouble over the things which seem to us to matter.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.